Welcome to the Authors Line, interviews and insights with featured authors and writers.
This is Mike Malevsky with Radio Free Palmer in Palmer, Alaska. Greg Sargent, where are you calling from?
I'm in Washington, D.C., sir.
Oh, a nice place. I lived there for 4 years, but we won't go into that. We're going to be talking about your back in the day.
Let's talk about that instead of the book.
Well, this was during the Nixon era, so I was particularly struck as you began the book by talking about a reminder of times past, whether it was Watergate or McCarthy and so on. But I'm really pushed to have you talk a little bit about this book because I find it fascinating. And the book, of course, is An Uncivil War, lengthy continuing title, Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpian Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics. Where do you want to begin, Greg?
Well, I guess we could start with Thunderdome Politics because that's what the book's largely about. I'm sure you and your listeners have all seen the movie. The Thunderdome is a reference to two men enter, one man leaves.
Right.
And by Thunderdome Politics, I mean two things. The first is the zero-sum struggle that results, the death struggle that results in politics when all rules, norms, and basic standards of fair play go out the window. And the second meaning of Thunderdome Politics is the crude politics as blood sport entertainment that Trump has dragged us all down to. So the Thunderdome, I hope, captures nicely all those elements of where we are right now.
So you describe the president in less than flattering terms, capturing what many people have observed, and in particular, the tendency he has to utilize an approach that some people have likened to a Hitlerian use of very large lies and lying even when he doesn't need to lie. And I'm curious, when you began thinking about doing this book, what of those elements that you observed in the present over the present circumstance caused you to develop this theme?
Well, I'd like to address what you said about the lying, because I think you actually hit an important point, and it's one that doesn't come up enough, if you don't mind.
Sure, go for it.
So when you say that he lies when he doesn't even need to lie, it's a crucial point. And I think we can understand it this way, and I write this in the book, or I try to make this case, that the lying is about power. It's an assertion of power. It's a declaration that he gets to say what reality is. And I don't know if this is instinctual on his part or, as I argue in the book, that it could be rooted to some degree in his reality TV past, which he's in some odd sense grafted onto his political persona. But lying as an assertion of power is a sort of quasi-totalitarian tactic, right?
Right.
It's the frequency and, in particular, the audacity of the lying that's critical. It's really, the point is to lie about things that are obviously disprovable and easily debunked by, in other words, he's telling his supporters that they shouldn't believe what's right in front of their noses. And he appears to be succeeding at this. And I think that that is a way of understanding the triviality of the lying, the frequency of the lying, and the seeming arbitrariness of it and constancy. I think it's an assertion of power, really.
And I guess I'd like to have you talk a little bit more about the way in which the president presents his positions, statements to a group which apparently supports, and yet we have another group, arguably larger, that is shaking its head and saying, but this is obviously just not true. And yet in the present context of what we do for politics, he maintains a rather frighteningly strong position.
Well, I think it can be understood by his popularity with Republican voters, right? He's still polling at 90% among Republican voters, and as long as he's polling that high with Republican voters, Republican public officials will do whatever he says or wants. They won't dare cross his voters when he's that popular with them. And so in a midterm like this one, you have to hope that there is a majority that overwhelms that. And it looks like there could be, right?
Right.
I mean, it looks... But, of course, then that majority is going to run headlong into the Republican structural advantages in this election, which are rooted in gerrymandering and population distribution and so forth. And so we don't know what will happen with that collision, but you have to hope that a majority counts for something.
Now, the subtitle, Taking Back Our Democracy, in the time that we have left, would you sum up the actions that individuals, perhaps listeners to this interview, would be taking to foster that taking back of our democracy?
So what I suggest is a number of things that I think can improve things incrementally over time. Making voting easier, bringing more people into the process through mechanisms like automatic voter registration in state after state, as many states as can do it. And by the way, that's escalating. Like more and more states are starting to do it. I also propose that people consider nonpartisan redistricting commissions so that the drawing of congressional maps and state legislative maps is taken out of the hands of politicians and isn't used as a political weapon anymore. There are other broader proposals in there, but basically what I try to suggest is ways of getting back to a semblance of fair play in politics that I think could, if we can do it piecemeal here and there, it's not going to be easy, I think could improve things over time.
Would you say this is an optimistic book?
You know, some people have said that. I think it's in some ways, I could be completely wrong about this, but my general feeling is that we're getting through this. I think, as I write in the last chapter, it looks to me like our institutions are holding up. The media has retained its core independence, and it's performing really kind of magnificently in many respects, although there are plenty of problems still there. He has not been able to subvert the rule of law to the degree that I think some people expected, me included, and although he's done it a lot of damage, but it seems to be holding up. It's true that the Congress essentially has been turned into an enabling machine for him, but a Democratic takeover could lead to real oversight. So that plus these types of change, I just have to say overall, if you look at the amount of civic engagement that we're seeing, the kind of outpouring of organizing and energy and civil society stepping up and trying to make a robust case against Trump's many abuses and Republican enabling of them, you have to be encouraged in some respects. Of course, we just don't really know how this is going to turn out, do we?
We do not, and that's just part of what makes this so very interesting. Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with Greg Sargent, author of An Uncivil War. Any last comments before we finish up?
Well, who's going to win your governor's race?
So you have noticed the change. We are looking at an extremely close race at the present time, with the momentum that appears to be with the Democratic challenger Mark Begich. We'll see how that turns out as well, but it's a close one. Certainly,
I'll tell you that captured a lot of people's attention when that happened. Walker dropping.
Oh, and the governor is in many ways a well-respected guy, and the action he took showed a lot
really
of courage.
Really remarkable.
Right.
I'll tell you, I was really impressed by him citing the Medicaid expansion. That was a tremendous act of real leadership, I thought.
Yes. Well, thank you, Greg, for calling in and sharing all of your words about both the book and our election.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too.
You've been listening to The Author's Line on Big Cabbage Radio. broadcasting from Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.